Okay, so now it looks like the Studley show, because we've got loads of questions from you, Councillor Studley. So, would you like to take the limelight for a short while?
Thank you, Leader. As my auntie used to say, you're so sharp, you want to watch you don't cut yourself.
Indeed, you should pay attention.
May I ask question one? Thank you. To the portfolio holder for culture, do you believe that the use of the word purdah in the run-up to local elections is appropriate, bearing in mind the actual meaning of the word and the fact that both the current leader of the council and the current mayor are female?
Thank you very much for that question, Councillor Studley. I've known you for some time, and actually I do admire your proficiency in the languages Eastern, especially my mother tongue, Gujarati. The word purdah is now accepted term of the rules governing publicity in the run-up to elections. We could describe them as pre-election publicity issue rules, but given we are not aware that the current description causes any offence, we see no reason at present to change it. I would also add that the word purdah being used in this context is not unique to Harrow. It is a nationally recognized description of the pre-election publicity rules, accepted from Devon to Walsall to Cumbria, and by local government lawyers, and by the official guidance in the House of Commons Library. I hope that answers your question then.
Do you have a supplementary?
Yeah, I do. You don't think we should call it something else then?
We are actually increasingly a multicultural borough, and I don't see any reason why we should change it now. Thank you.
Okay. And just to confirm, I'm not at all offended by anything, but least of all that. Would you like to ask your second question? I think it's of Stephen Greek.
Yeah, thank you, Leader. To the Portfolio Holder for Planning Urban Regeneration, please would you inform me of the cost or of the estimated cost to Harrow Council of the public inquiry into the refusal of planning permission for the High Football Club lights and stadium?
Thank you, Councillor Studley. As you will know, events have slightly overtaken the question since you submitted it. Just to be clear, the public inquiry related to the enforcement notice, which, as you know, has now been withdrawn by officers under delegated authority, the refusal of planning permission, we don't yet know what form the appeal will take, and as you know as well, that's being discussed next week, so a planning committee, so we probably won't know till then really where we stand with costs. But in relation to the enforcement notice, as was, the likely cost was going to be expected to be in the region of at least £200,000, possibly significantly higher if the inquiry had gone on beyond 3 days, possibly even up to something like £500,000. I have certainly heard that figure bandied about. As you know, we had strong advice from a QC and two planning consultants that the enforcement notice couldn't be defended at a planning inquiry, which is why officers had to withdraw it. But had there been even a glimmer of a case, to my mind, every single penny of that money would have been worthwhile in order to support our residents. But clearly, as there wasn't a case, I'd gone to great lengths to try and help us make a case. I'd even offered to take the stand myself to be the main planning witness, but I was told that that wasn't suitable. So in that situation, there was no option but to withdraw the notice. The council is, however, still pursuing the planning appeal, as you know, and we'll be discussing at planning committee next week how we're going to proceed with that.
Do you have a supplementary?
Yeah, I'm still a bit intrigued, Councillor Greig. You mentioned a glimmer of hope there. Well, after all the discussions have subsided, or even while they're taking place, perhaps, if there is a glimmer of hope, do you still think that this matter is worth proceeding with, bearing in mind the cost?
No. As I what I said was, if there had been a glimmer of hope in the enforcement notice,
and I'm saying, and if it turns out that there is,
it's too late now because the notice has been withdrawn. Had there been a glimmer of hope, we would have found it, but there wasn't. So that was the reason why we had to withdraw it. One thing I would say whilst we're still talking about the notice is that I did read the comments by Labour's finance spokesman, and I very much hope that now he's been fully informed of the situation, that he might want to reconsider what he's been saying. I would have thought that he, of all people, would not want to see the council throw hundreds of thousands of pounds down the drain for something that we couldn't possibly hope to get anything out of. I'm sure he'll want to think about that and reconsider what he says. And I mean that genuinely in the friendliest way possible.
Thank you. We'll see.
And can I just say, there is absolutely no way this administration will waste taxpayers' money. We were given very, very strong, clear advice that we could not win this particular case. I will absolutely not grandstand for the sake of it. We will not waste taxpayers' money under any circumstances. And that's exactly what this would have been for the sake of so-called electioneering. No way. Not while we're in charge, ever. Would you like to ask your next question?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Leader. This is the portfolio holder for housing. and what I feel is a particularly serious point, Barry. I've been approached for help on two separate occasions, as you know, by Harrow citizens who ended up homeless because they had court injunctions forbidding them access to their properties, but were told by this council they did not qualify for council accommodation because they co-owned the aforementioned properties. Bearing in mind your comments at the February Cabinet meeting with respect to helping the homeless in any way possible, what assurances, if any, can you give me that your administration will take the necessary steps to place the victims of such circumstances into temporary accommodation at the very least?
Okay, I don't really want to sort of talk about the individual names of the cases because I don't think that's appropriate. But it always is sad when people do fall through the cracks in that, and these particular cases were sort of quite worrying in that regard. Though courts don't take injunctions, don't allow injunctions unless there's something serious behind that. So we have to bear that in mind. And oftentimes it's violence or mortgage arrears or rent arrears and so on. So there are issues. However, that's notwithstanding, what can we do? We are legally constrained into what we can do in terms of homeless duties and so forth. And there does seem to be this strange case that you allude to, where someone's got ownership but can't get access, and how to treat that. One of the things we have done since we've been in is to set up a project on single homelessness. We've got sort of funding together, working with sort of the Firm Foundation and other sort of charities working in this field. So there's an individual officer now sort of working on a special project over pretty much the next year, looking at what we can do to bring various agencies together, voluntary organisations, charities and churches, and see what we can do to overcome this within the bounds of what we're circumscribed by law. That's sort of what we're trying to challenge. Unfortunately, we've got a huge demand for, as you know, for housing in Harrow. Some 1,250 single homelessness individuals come towards us, and this is one of the reasons why we've really tried to cross that net to see what we can do to do something about that.
Do you have a supplementary?
Yeah, I do, if I may. So are you agreeing with me then that this is a hole in the benefits system through which our Harrow citizens should not be allowed to fall through, and this hole should be plugged as soon as practically possible by whatever means possible, for example, a contingency fund or some reserves put aside or what have you?
There does seem to be an issue that we do have to look at to address, and whether or not it's actually a issue for us locally or is actually a national issue. And since it is circumscribed by sort of national restrictions on what we can and can't do with respect to housing duty and what the courts are doing, it's really a national problem that's been created, and that unfortunately certain individuals fall through that sort of loophole. That's why we put into place a single homelessness project, sort of to actually try to see what we can do locally to fix that problem.
Thank you. Would you like to ask your next question?
I'd be delighted to, Leader. Thank you. This is a portfolio holder for performance. The staff working at the public counter on the ground floor, right opposite the main front door to the Civic Centre, have informed me that as of last month, they have been instructed not to accept documents delivered by hand from members of the public. How do you justify depriving members of the public facility to hand in important mail and documents by hand and obtaining a stamped compliment slip by way of receipt, forcing them instead to pay for recorded delivery in these times of austerity when, according to your coalition government, we're all supposed to be tightening our belts?
Thank you, Councillor Studley. First of all, my understanding is that customers can drop off documents at either the reception desk or via the council postbox outside the front door. The problem was and is that some customers were asking the team at the reception to check the documentation to then stamp and sign the receipt saying that they'd received all this documentation. The problem was that was taking a lot of time and causing delays for other people. Underlying all of this is the fact that in the Labour budget there is, over 4 years, £500,000 being taken out of the frontline service of Access Harrow. That's clearly going to have an impact. However, I'm happy to have a meeting with you and the manager of the contact centre to try and find a way of doing maybe something in between so we can acknowledge that something's been received but without having to go through all the documents that are in it, because I think that would take too long. So I'm very happy to have a discussion around that and try and find a way forward, but we do have to be conscious of where we are in the budget position.
Do you have a supplementary?
Yes, I do, Leader. This just proves the adage that there's always two sides to every story, because my question was categorically, can this lady just hand this in? No document checking or anything. And having myself been given a stamp compliment slip a few weeks earlier, I was stunned when it was refused. So my question is, can we please get together? And if it does transpire that they're not even prepared to date stamp a compliment slip to give to somebody to confirm that they dropped anything off, I really don't see that that's going to incur much cost on this council when we're a £350 million a year turnover. I think we should be able to give a receipt for something that's handed in by hand when somebody bothers to come down here and give it in the first place. Are you happy to meet up with me to sort this out?
Always.
Thank you.
Okay, you can have a little rest now, Councillor Studley. And Councillor Ferry is going to ask me a couple of questions.
I feel like I'm the advert in the middle. Question, I've never asked a question before, so please be kind with me. A question to Susan Hall, Leader of the Council. How many complaints have the Council received from residents since August 2013 in respect to Barnet Football Club's first team's matches being played at the Hive? What are the main subjects of these complaints and in which months were they received?
During this period, 6 complaints were received relating to parking problems or congestion. No complaints have been logged by the Environmental Health or Public Protection Team or the Planning Division during this period. Of the 6 complaints relating to parking problems or congestion, only one referred specifically to first team matches. These received in August 13, one of those, September 13, one, January the 14th, there were 3, and February the 14th, there was one.
I've got no supplementary, so I'll go on to the next one, if you will.
Okay.
This is to you as well. As a Wealdstone councillor, I'm immensely proud of the performance of our football club, Wealdstone FC, over the past season. They now look certain to be crowned champions of the Ryman Premier League by a huge margin of points and will win promotion to the Conference South League. Will you and the rest of your party join the Labour group in sending a letter of congratulations to the club?
It's brilliant news, isn't it? I've owned a business in Wealdstone for 36 years and have fond memories of attending the Stones games as far back as when I was a child, when it was used to be where the Tesco's is now, so I remember it well. So I do share your delight, and in fact I was talking to their chairman at the beginning of the week about the fantastic success. I follow them on Twitter and retweet them. Howard Crass is actually coming in to see me soon again anyway, because we need to know what's happening with Wealdstone. As you know, I know you're a Barnet football club supporter, but I know
you...
I'm
an Ipswich town.
Ipswich town?
Yes,
what's
actually.
What's the matter with you?
I've fallen upon hard times. Can't afford to go to the home matches anymore, so I have to make do with Barnet and Wealdstone.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, we should all be going to Wealdstone and sharing some of their success colleagues, and I've been invited to see them in a month to go and watch a game, so I shall be enjoying that. So very, very happy to send a letter from the council wishing them every success and say congratulations to them. Thank you. Was I gentle enough with you, Keith?
Yeah, maybe I won't have to ask any more questions because next time I'll be sitting up there, won't I?
Oh, I hope. I hope not. No offence. No offence, but I do hope not. For the sake of the residents, I really do hope not. For the sake of everybody, I do hope not. Okay, so we're back to you, Councillor Studley, and you're going to ask another one of Paul Osborne.
Yeah, thank you, Leader. I assure you that I'll be standing here, whoever's standing there next month.
I have every confidence in that.
Paul, aside from the Electoral Commission, is there any internal or council-orientated monitoring system for the conduct and behaviour of political groups and or parties running in Harrow in the forthcoming local elections on the 22nd of May?
Basically, current councillors standing for election do remain bound by the council code of conduct. So that's the largely council-focused mechanism. There is also clearly the right to petition the electoral court after the election if they breach section 106 of the Representation of the People's Act, which happened in 2010 with a Labour candidate, Phil Woolis, who made some misleading statements about his opponent, and that election was declared null and void and had to be refought.
Do you have a supplementary?
I do, please, Leader. Do you agree with me that it's extremely important to have a monitoring system in place for the actual party itself rather than individuals, that at the very least reprimands parties who come out with blatantly false statements, such as the current claim in the Labour Group's campaign literature that they froze council tax for 3 years when they put council tax up last year, and that they didn't close any libraries when they closed that one over there?
I was shocked when I saw that leaflet myself being delivered when it was delivered through my door. I didn't know which council they were talking about. I know their maths is sometimes suspect, as we saw with the budget, but I presumed that they could at least count up to three. That turns out not to be the case, because they seem to think that they froze council tax for 3 years when under no... I tried and spent a lot of time trying to work out how you could get to them freezing it for 3 years and didn't manage to find a way. Maybe at some stage they can explain that to the electorate. There were all sorts of other things that were just seemed to me false and misleading. I think it's unfortunate that a party is that desperate it feels the need to do that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Studley. Councillor James Bond, you're asking me a question.
Good evening, Susan. This is for you, as you just said. I would like the leader of the council to investigate why a senior employee with responsibilities for parking and sustainable transport, who took a severance payment when his employment with the council came to an end on Friday 31st of May last year, was then rehired as a consultant, working in the same department and doing the same job 3 days later from Monday the 3rd of June. If the gentleman's job with the council was so vital to the authority, why was he not retained and paid in a normal way under the PAYE system, thus saving taxpayers of Harrow an unnecessary severance payment at that time, which is then followed by 10 months' worth of consultancy fees, which I believe ended on the 28th of March this year?
Right. Usually questions relating to individual staff are not taken at Cabinet, but I felt it's important to actually clarify this on this occasion. In relation to this specific individual, the member of staff to whom we think you are referring to resigned. He did not get severance package. He did not want a full-time commitment and so was more flexible as a temporary member of staff. The council did not make him redundant, and I would point out this decision was taken prior to our administration. I've qualified this because many of us will know who you're talking about, so we've got to get these things right. If not, it's picked up and incorrect information is given. So I hope that clarifies the situation regarding that very good individual. However, there is a broader point here and something that you might be more aware of, Councillor Bond, had you attended more than a handful of cabinets in these last 4 years, and that is the impact of the prison restructure in public realm, which gets me vexed every time I talk about it. I've protested against it since it first came to light, and the consequences of it are twofold. And one is that in some cases we've lost the wrong staff from the wrong places, meaning that there are gaps in expertise and knowledge. And two, it has made practices such as this more likely because the council has on occasion had the need to bring back former employees as consultants because the missing expertise has suddenly been recognised. It's not a good situation. It's not something I'm personally happy about, which, as I say, you would know full well if you came to more meetings. I'm livid about it. But as I've said, it is unfortunately a situation we've inherited from a structure we had concerns about from the beginning. PRISM, in my view, was a disaster, and the sooner the whole wretched thing is finished, the better, and we can stabilise staffing. And it's best that that's all I say on that particular subject, unless you've got a supplementary.
I'd just like to say, Leader of the Council, thank you for all that qualification. I deliberately waited until the 28th of March. I had no reason to have any quarrel with the person concerned. It's more the principle. All I'll say now, I haven't really got a supplementary, but I will write to you because I have information that I got in good faith that I would like you to see, and you can then answer me further if that would be okay.
I most certainly will, but do remember what I've said. The whole prison thing, in my view, was a dog's dinner. I've said so now for a couple of years. I begged the then administration to do something about it, and they didn't. So we've been stuck with a situation where we just haven't had the staff in positions to make life easier for our residents. And that, as an administration, is all we want to do. Make sure that these services that are so vital in environment and enterprise are filled so that we can give the best service to our residents. That's what they pay for. Thank you very much, Councillor Bond. Now, last question, my favourite councillor, Manu Demiraja. Hello, Manu.
Thank you very much, Leader. The question is to you. Are you aware of the problems the CPZ in Welbeck Road may cause to the residents of Rayners Lane Estate?
Right, okay. The Welbeck Road area was prioritised for a CPZ scheme by TARSAP due to the existing problems with parking access in this area reported by local residents. And these have been reported, Manu, for a very long time at the bottom there by the arches. A public consultation exercise is therefore currently in progress and aims to seek residents' views about the proposals and any parking-related issues. And the gentleman asked questions about it earlier. I'm very happy to look at all those because it goes round into the Rayners Lane Estate, so I understand there's separate issues. There are a number of private sections of roads in the Rayners Lane Estate where people currently park their vehicles, and the implementation of parking controls in the area may change the parking pressures in these locations. These areas would not automatically be included in a controlled parking zone, but because they are not public, because they're not public highway. The feedback from the public consultation exercise on this particular issue will therefore be very important when deciding how to take the scheme forward. So I do beg you, and I know you're very passionate about your residents there, because you constantly tell me about the issues they have, I would beg all of you, and I know there's quite a few sitting in the audience, please do write in. Don't think your letters are ignored. They're not. So if you write in with your name and address specifically, not necessarily filling in petitions, it is very important that we hear from you individually about what your thoughts are in your road. So put your name and address on it and tell us what you're actually thinking about the issues in your road that you would suffer from. Or any others in your vicinity. Please do that, and they will be taken into account. Do you have a supplementary, Manu?
Yes, please. It's actually, some of this has been already mentioned by the chairman of the Rayners Lane Estate Tenants and Residents Association, but the last bit is very interesting because I won't go through what has already been stated. Rennesland Estate Tenants and Residents Association, on behalf of the concerned residents whose input on parking issues has not been considered, have expressed their views in a petition against the introduction of the CPZ extension. Through any minority view from the consultation exercise relative to the whole estate population introduction on the estate, we feel the conclusion exercise is flawed from the outset.
It hasn't finished, Mano, which is why I do beg you, I know you're really keen to make sure that you represent your residents, and you're doing so very well, but I do assure you, if you get your residents to write in, we haven't finished the consultation yet. If it helps and any of them come in slightly late, they will still be looked at. They always are. So even if we have to extend that very slightly, I'm happy to do that because we always want to know what residents say. So do urge your residents to write in separately so that we know exactly where the issues are. Okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Right, okay, we've taken all the questions now. So we're going on, we're going to speed through a bit here as this has taken quite some time. Key decisions schedule, which is item 7. Would Cabinet please note that two additional key items, items 11 and 17A, have been added to the agenda since the key decision schedule was published? Can Cabinet note, please? Thank you. We're on 8A.